Daniel chapter 7, verse 5. If you have your Bible, I want us to read together. But before we read, shall we just speak to the Lord? Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this morning. I thank you, Lord, to see each and every one of my brothers here, each and every one of my sisters here, because there are others who are in conditions where they desire to be here, but sickness has denied them an opportunity. And you've provided us this opportunity to be right here in this place. And so we pray that, Lord, may you help us to have a heart and an attitude that will be able to hear what the Spirit is speaking to us this morning. We also pray for those who will access this message by the internet. Lord, wherever they are, as they listen, may your presence be in the room wherever they are. That although being denied the benefit of being in a physical audience, your presence, we believe, can make the whole difference when your presence is where they are. Now, Lord, may you grant us the understanding of your word as we get into this teaching. In Jesus' name, amen. Daniel chapter 7, verse 5. Shall we read? And behold, another beast, a second, like a bear. And it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Now, there are three things I want us to take note of in this verse. Like we said on Wednesday, and I think last Sunday, when a vision is given, we need to pay attention to the details or the descriptions which have been given. You don't just skim through a passage, you know, without paying attention to the phrases, to the imageries which have been used. Now, we are coming from a lion. We saw how prophets like Jeremiah and Ezekiel, Jeremiah had also used the depiction of a lion. He also used the depiction of an eagle to describe Babylon. And here again, we see Daniel, when he saw Babylon, he saw it in form of a lion with eagle's wings. And now, the four winds continued striving over the sea. And, you know, after the lion, the next beast he saw was a bear. And this bear had three ribs in its mouth. Now, he doesn't just say three ribs. He says they were between its teeth, meaning it held them firmly. Now, he could have said four ribs, five ribs, but Daniel in the vision said the bear had three ribs. That has a purpose, right? Amen. Why there were three. Now, the other thing is, he says the bear was raised on one side. Actually, that's the first thing, right? The bear was raised on one side. Now, that picture is not able to show that. But, you know, the bear is raised on one side. The other legs are raised like that. Okay, it is raised on one side. One side is higher than the other. So the first thing, it is raised on one side. Second, three ribs in the mouth. And number three, It was commanded, it was told. They said unto it, what did they say to it? Devour much flesh. Now here is something. For us to understand why this bear is raised on one side, we need to know this thing. All visions in the book of Daniel are about one thing. All the visions we read, they're really describing the same thing, except one vision just adds more detail to what was previously described. Now, here is something. When you look at the four empires, what this table you are seeing shows is the visions which are in the book of Daniel. One vision is only adding more details to the previous one mentioned. So, for example, let us look at Daniel chapter 2. In Daniel chapter 2, we see Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the great image. Remember, the head of gold, chest and arms of silver. Okay? And today, we just look at these two because that is where we are. Now, you'll notice that when Daniel was interpreting what the image stood for, he said the head of gold symbolizes Babylon. But when you read Daniel chapter 7, Daniel saw a vision of the four beasts, and the first beast was Babylon. So you notice that in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, all which was shown was the head of gold. But Daniel, in seeing the vision, there's a little more detail which tells us more about the character of the empire. Daniel, in his vision, the picture God used was a lion with what? Eagle's wings. And then the wings were plucked out, and then it was made to stand as a man. So Daniel is shown more details about what will happen to Babylon. Its power, it was a devourer. And it was as swift as an eagle in its conquests. And later on, the wings were plucked out. And like we saw on Wednesday, plucking out denotes a sudden action. It shows an advantage which this empire had suddenly being taken out of it. You know, made to stand as man and man's heart being given to it, it shows how weak and vulnerable the Babylonian Empire became. It just became as all other people. Okay? And that shows the power these empires have. It is because God has permitted it to be so. Now, when you come to that image in Daniel chapter 2 again, after the head of gold, what came next was the chest and arms of silver. Now, observe how these details are very important. When you look at arms, how many arms do you have? It's two, right? There's a left hand and there's a right hand. Now, you notice that whenever in the book of Daniel, you are looking at the Medo-Persians, that number two always comes up. You only have one head, okay? If Daniel wanted, he would have said there was the head of God and two ears. Did he mention the ears? No. The attention was on the head, one head of gold, right? But when it came to the chest, it would have been enough to say chest of what? Silver. But in his description, it really comes out that there is that aspect of two. Chest and arms of what? Silver. Now, here's something you need to observe. In the Daniel 7 visions, the visions of the four beasts, the next beast is the bear. Number one, I want you to observe how whenever you are dealing with the Medo-Persian Empire, the number two comes out, and you always have two things mentioned. And when two things are mentioned, one is always stated as being stronger or higher than the other when you're dealing with Medo-Persia. Right in its name, it's a composite kingdom. Medo-Persia. The Medes and the Persians. Two arms. Left The left hand is weaker. The right hand is stronger. Right? Then, when you look at the bear, it is raised on one side. Now, when you stand on one side, you know what happens? The other side is weakened. The other one is stronger. It's bearing the weight. Right? Okay. And when you go to Daniel chapter 8, now the vision of Daniel chapter 8 deals with the vision of the Medes and the Persians. Again, observe, when you go into Daniel chapter 8, it is giving more detail about the second empire. Let us just quickly go to Daniel chapter 8 so that we understand the details of what we are speaking about. Daniel chapter 8, verse 3. We can start from verse 2. And the good thing about these visions, they were already interpreted to Daniel of what these things meant. So Daniel chapter 2, chapter 8, verse 2. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had how many horns? Hello? How many horns? Two horns. That's right. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. Now, he says, I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. And I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. As you continue reading, the he-goat defeated the ram which had two horns. Now, when you go to verse 20, we are told what the ram is. We are told what the he-goat is. Let us read verse 20 all together. Shall we read? The ram which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of and Persia. Now, can we see that when you are looking at Medo-Persia, there are always two things mentioned. The number two always comes up. And when you look at the horns, one was higher than the other, correct? Mm-hmm. When you look at the bear, it was raised on one side. Two sides, one was raised higher than the other. When you look at the arms, although it is not brought out in Daniel chapter 2, we are only told the Medo-Persia is represented by chest and arms of silver. When you look at arms, it's common sense. There's a left hand and there's a right hand. Right. Now, this Medo-Persia, first we need to understand, why is it called Medo-Persia? Why those two names? All these others, it's Babylon, Greece, Rome. But this one, history books will always call it the Medo-Persian Empire. So here is something we need to understand about the Medo-Persian Empire. There are these people who are called the Medes. Can you take me to the map? This is the Middle Eastern map. Now, I know someone will be lost. Which part of map is that? Of course, that's not Zambia. But if you know where Zambia is, as you go north, 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 we come to Egypt, right? So when you look at the atlas, you want to know where we are here, just have an idea where Egypt is. Are you seeing Egypt there? All right? And then there's what? There's Babylon there, or Babylonia, as they call it. Then are you seeing Media? Are you seeing how huge the Median territory is? Okay. And there's another one there called Lydia. We'll come back to that.
Lydia.
But when we talk about the Medes occupied that great territory you are seeing there. When you've heard of stories in the Bible like Nineveh, you remember Jonah going to Nineveh? Hello? In the time of the Medes, you can see that Nineveh is a territory which is all covered under Media there. You see that? Now, take me to the previous page. Let's go back to the previous page. The Medes were a separate group. Powerful. They were dominant. However, there is this other group which started small, a nation. It started growing in power. It started growing in influence. And it managed to attack the Medes and take the Medes under their rule. Those were the Persians. Now let's go to the map again. I want to show you where the Persians are. Are you seeing where it says Persia there? Someone can wonder, but we don't have Persia on the map today. Yes, because names of countries change. Today what we call Persia is what we call Iran. Are we together? So, the country called Iran, it is somewhere there. It used to be called Persia. Now, Persia started out small, but they were powerful. They were good at their military tactics. And with time, they managed to overcome the Medes. But even though they overcame the Medes, Cyrus wanted the Medes and the Persians to exist together as one kingdom. Are we together? So the kingdom was big, but it was a kingdom ruled by two rulers. Of course, the Persian one had more power than the other one was like an assistant or a junior ruling a certain region. So that is why when we talk about this empire, we always call it as the Middle Persian Empire. Because Cyrus the Great wanted it to exist as two peoples who are united as one empire. But one was greater than the other. Now, if you are paying close attention, you should observe that that was foretold in Daniel's prophecy. He said, the ram had how many horns? Let us go back and read that again. Look at Daniel 8 verse 3. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns. Now, pay attention to how the horns are. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than? One was higher than the other. So there are two horns, but one horn is higher than the other. Now, if you're following what I'm speaking, which horn is Persia? Which one is the Medes? Which horn? Is it the higher one or the shorter one? Which one is the Persians? The higher one or the shorter one? Huh? Higher, because the Persians were stronger and more powerful. But now, observe the vision. He says, and the higher came up. The higher came up. That means the Medes were the ones actually which came up to be a kingdom which was dominant. Persians were a small kingdom. They started rising, but they rose quickly. So although they were higher, they grew up last. It's not the first horn which came out. It's the Medes. The Medes came up first. But these Persians, although they were weaker, that when they came to rose up into a stronger force, they rose higher than the Persians. Remember, a horn on an animal prophetically symbolizes power and authority. And that is what the Persians were. So it was a Middle Persian Empire, but the Persians were stronger and greater. So now, having understood how the Middle Persian Empire started growing, I want us to know this thing. In the vision of Daniel chapter 7 verse 5, it says, this Medo-Persian bear, it had how many ribs? And here is something interesting. The Medo-Persian empire, for it to rise to world dominance, the world as in that time, it had to overcome three kingdoms. The kingdoms it overcame were Babylon. I think we've talked about Babylon. It overcame Babylon, right? The second was Egypt. And there was also Lydia. Now, you can see all of them here. There's Egypt. There's Babylon. There's Lydia. Again, Lydia is not a place you can see on the map today. If you want to see it on the map today, look for a name of a country called Turkey. Turkey. That's the region where Lydia used to be. These are the three ribs that the Medo-Persian Empire overcame, and by doing that, dominated the world. Because this is a huge portion of the world, right? And so by taking over these three ribs, the Persian Empire was now the empire at that time which controlled the then world. Now, we're going to look at each one of the three ribs. We're not just saying three ribs. We want to go, how did all those three ribs end up in its teeth? Do you think it's important? Amen. And you know what? When I was reading these histories, I found interesting lessons that you and I can learn as a believer in our spiritual warfare. Paul used to use that. Paul would use an example like, I don't want to be a boxer who throws punches in the air. So you can learn something from something happening in the world, right? Paul would say, we are soldiers of Christ, right? He's not telling you to go and enlist in the army, but he is looking at an army in the world and things we can learn. Paul says, when one is a soldier, he doesn't live by his rights. He is a soldier committed to fighting the war. Okay? And as we look at these three ribs, how did they end up in the mouth of the bear? You know, just like Babylon was a lion, do you know also the Bible says Satan is like a roaring lion? Right? So here we see this Medo-Persian empire is a bear. And it was able to capture those three ribs. How did those three ribs end up in its mouth? Let us look at the first rib, Babylon. Babylon. Of course, we know that that night there was a handwriting on the wall. But I want to tell you the story of how it happened. And I hope as a child of God, you can learn something from there. You know, the Persians were very clever people. They looked at the walls of Babylon, thick, strong, high. Every time they look at the walls of Babylon, they are soldiers with spears pointing in every direction. You can't bring down a territory like that. Do you know as a believer also you are protected? You know as a believer you have certain strengths? But do you know also as a believer you can have some weak points? Is that true? There'll be a weakness, right? Persians were clever. If they want to fight you, they don't just take their spears to come and attack you. They study Babylon. They looked at the walls. Oh, these walls are very high. We can't attack Babylon like this. At that time, Babylon, it was a city which was known. In our language, we would say,
Babylon ndeenze chitika, ndeenze liko. You've heard of that language. Ndeva chitika. Babylon.
The way today, you know, everyone salutes America. Trump has his slogan, make America great again. Well, America has been great for quite a long time, providing political leadership in the world. But many times, the fall of an empire comes when you've had so much victory and you think it's business as usual. Yeah. Here is how Babylon came down. You know, when you look at the map where Babylon is, Babylon sat where the river Euphrates is. When you look at the map of the Middle East, you have these two rivers, Euphrates and Tigris. Babylon is somewhere there. It is where the river Euphrates is passing. It's actually between those two rivers. The Persians started studying. How can we bring down this mighty empire? Their military is strong. We can't just come, wake up and say, let's fight Babylon. We'll be defeated. You know what the Middle Persians did? They looked at a very big river Euphrates and said, we can do something here. Because this river Euphrates was passing through Babylon. This is what the Middle Persians did. Because river Euphrates is very big. Long, rather. So what the Middle Persians did, they punched holes in this river to redirect it so that some of the waters in Euphrates can start flowing somewhere else. And so that the river can start coming down, low and low. You've seen what happens to River Luangwa River. You know, the times in Luangwa River, you can even walk in the river. It becomes dry, right? So now, here what they did was punch a hole in River Euphrates so that it starts flowing elsewhere and it starts becoming lower. The level starts dropping. You think you can do that in one day? No, this is a massive river. Massive river. But when the devil takes an M, what he wants to accomplish, he may not want to accomplish it today. He punches a little hole in something, even in your life. One simple hole. Something starts leaking out. Your prayer life begins to die little and little. Little and little. Your desire to read the Bible, your desire to be present in fellowship, you start missing here and there. And you know what? When something is done slowly, you won't be able to see that the levels of the river are going down. You won't see that. If it happens suddenly, that, oh, manzi lelo yenze apa, lelo yafika apa, everyone will, it will alert everyone to start wondering something is going on. It will alert the soldiers to say, no, 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 no. Someone has punched this river. He has put a hole in this river, right? But it was a slow strategy. Slow strategy. They started redirecting the river. We don't know how long that took. It could have been a year. It could have been 2 years. But you know what? The levels of the river were going down, going down, going down. And this is what the Persians did. They attacked Babylon at a time when there was a feast and celebration. Now, do you know countries always have spies? People who come in your midst, like you are one of you, but their number one work is to take news. They'll come like a businessman, I've come to Babylon to buy things. Because Persians used to go and buy things, right? They take note of debts. Oh, kuzankala puando, that day, that day. The Persians, they attacked Babylon when the rivers of Euphrates now were deep enough in such a way that they could swim, they could walk in that river at night. The Babylonians, their eyes still told them, we have River Euphrates. What they didn't know, the level of the river had dropped. Inside the city, they could see water, but they didn't pay attention to what was happening elsewhere. The Persians came slowly. Now, that's a famous image, picture. You find it on the internet. These are Persians. You can see they attacked Babylon by moving in the waters of River Euphrates. Because the waters had come, and the person who did this art is very good. Because are you seeing the coloring there that the water level has reduced? Are you seeing how he did his art? And the Middle Persians were able to enter secretly. You know what was happening inside? Now, remember, was it on Wednesday? We talked about the Ishtar Gate. The Ishtar Gate, which had images of a lion. Are you seeing that there? So now, hey, that's a lion being overtaken by a bear. And they entered secretly at night. And the rest was history. You read of it in Daniel chapter 5, the last two verses. That Belshazzar, it was this very night when the handwriting wrote on the wall. And this history, you don't have to read it in the Bible. It's there in different history books. You can go on the internet. You can read. You can even watch on YouTube how the Middle Persians attacked Babylon at night. And Babylon was defeated in one day. Do you know Isaiah the prophet had already seen this? Isaiah lived 100 years before there was this Babylonian empire. But he was able to spell out the name of King Cyrus. He was able to even specify how Babylon will come down. Isaiah saw it. Let us read Isaiah 44 verse 27. Let us start with verse 26. Isaiah 44 verse 26. This is Isaiah prophesying about how Judah will rise again after it's been attacked by Babylon. And Isaiah even mentions the name of the king of the Persians who will do that thing. Now, we had a prophet in this age, William Branham, and we know he could prophesy and speak out people's names, right? So that is something we should be familiar with, that God is able to do that. Now, in verse 26, shall we all read? That confirmeth, you can do better than that. Shall we read verse 26? That confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and to the cities of Judah ye shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof. Now, remember, when this was happening, when Babylon was in power, Jerusalem collapsed. Remember how the king of this empire had destroyed Jerusalem. You remember? Daniel was among the captives. But Isaiah here is prophesying that Jerusalem will be inhabited again. In verse 27, that says to the deep. Now, he is prophesying how Jerusalem will be restored. How will it be restored? How will Babylon be defeated? Verse 27, shall we read? That says to the deep, be dry, and I'll dry up the rivers. Are you hearing that? Amen. Isaiah is speaking how Jerusalem will be inhabited again. How? By the destruction of Babylon. How will Babylon be distracted? The river has to dry up. Now, when a prophet speaks, that is why Brother Branham said, God's word interprets itself. You know, when God gives a prophecy, it will interpret itself when it gets fulfilled. Because these people, they punched holes in these rivers and caused them to go dry. That saith to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up thy rivers. Now listen to the next one. That saith of Cyrus. That saith of? Cyrus. He is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure. Even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Do you know what happened after Belshazzar was killed? The Persians took over the world. Do you know what Cyrus, the next thing he did? You can read it in your own time in Ezra chapter 1. The next thing Cyrus did was to give a proclamation. Jews, you can go to your land and build your city, Jerusalem. You can build your temple. That's the thing Cyrus did. Are you seeing the prophecy in these three verses? Jerusalem will be inhabited. This fall of Babylon, when the Persians took over, King Cyrus gave a proclamation. Jews, you are free. You can read the proclamation in Ezra chapter 1. When Cyrus gave a proclamation, let all those who can go build the temple of God. That was the beginning of the restoration of the Jews. That was the end of the 70 years of Babylon. Praise the name of the Lord. But here is something interesting. That saith to the deep, be dry. Many times the problem, we think God's word has to be fulfilled through drama. So when you have it in your mind, oh, he says to the river, be dry. You are looking for what you watch in what Disney, suddenly for the river to dry up. No, God has servants he uses. He brought the Persians. What did they do? They punched holes in the Euphrates. And the Euphrates started redirecting elsewhere. The river started drying up. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Yeah? That was the end of Babylon. Do you understand how the first rib ended up in the bear's mouth? More importantly, I don't want you to just learn the history. I want you to get this lesson. Never be comfortable in your Christian life. The devil will attack you, not when you think you are late and you are praying and all that. He attacks in your most relaxed moments. Babylon, what was Babylon doing? Celebrating, rejoicing, drinking beer. But because the king was so excited with the crowd, he crossed a boundary, he crossed a line. He says, bring those vessels of the temple, we drink in them. Those were vessels of the temple of God. Never do that. Kosankara na chijoverezi na vintu va Mulungu. Amen. When you come in the house of God, be humble, be ready to pray. Wherever you are, don't say I'm a strong believer. Him who thinks he's strong, let him beware. Because Satan moves around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Always have a childlike faith where you depend on the grace of God. Always being alert. Don't feel like now, I'm spiritually strong. I don't need to do morning devotion like praying and do the simple things a child of God should do. Don't forget prayer. Don't forget your spiritual disciplines. Don't give up on fellowship. Surrender your heart to God. Never reach a point where you feel you are now grown up. We all need his sustenance every day. Amen. Every day we need to be in prayer. Every day we need to learn. You always need to know that I'm a human being. There could be something I'm doing wrong I'm not even aware of. That is why some men of God prayed prayers like, Lord, search my heart. Thou knowest that which concerns me. Don't be too sure like you know yourself. Even Job did not know himself. Chapter 1, chapter 2, he's a perfect man. As you move on, Job spoke words which I believe even him would not have known he could speak those words had the trials not landed on him. But later on, those words came out. That's a lesson about how Babylon fell. So beware. In moments when everything seems to be going good, in moments when you seem to be going through testimonies, things are going very well, that's the time Satan punches your hole in River Euphrates. And you won't know how the level of the river is drying up. By the time you are defeated, you say, oh my, I think I'm a fallen, I'm backslidden.
Don't do that.
The second rib was Lydia. Like I said, that's the region where, the place around where we see Turkey. Turkey. In that time, it used to be called Lydia. You know what is interesting about the Persians? They didn't fight every battle the same. Let me do Persians. They studied you first. They looked for a weak point. They didn't attack Lydia the same way they attacked Babylon. You know, the devil is aware of your strong points. As what you know, kosa munjira ya so na so na so. Uyu munjira ya so na so ningamzembelek. You know, the devil knows that very well. So don't say, I'm well fortified, the way Babylon was fortified. The devil can attack you in areas where you don't pay attention. Babylonians never thought their enemies could come through the river. Because it is about mumanzi ni nsomba. But ijade mumanzi ni mundu. Anabwera kubashita attack. Even a thief, when he wants to steal, you think he will come knocking at your door using the main way. He will come through hidden spots, right? So we need to be alert. Lydia was defeated through the battle of Pteria, as they call it. You know, the Persians went to attack the Lydians. I don't know if that's what they are called, the Lydians, but the country was Lydia, or the people of Lydia. First, the Persians went to attack. They started fighting and fighting, but the battle was strong. Inakaka nangondo. Ah, the Persians said, okay, we'll continue this war later on. They tried. The battle did not work. So there was no announcement that the war has ended. No. Palinkondo, but suddenly, a battle or a war which was not concluded. Everyone went his way. Because there are some wars you just get tired, right? It's like, hey, I think it's pumuleko. Manje kupumula kwa unekangati nkondo ya sira. That's what happened at the battle of Pteria. It was a battle which was not concluded. And the Lydian people were led by Croesus. Croesus was their king. So Croesus withdrew. Said, this battle is tough. Let's withdraw. But there was no announcement to say Persians have won or we've surrendered. It was an inconclusive battle. Croesus withdrew, the king. And you know what happened? Winter was approaching. In Zambia, winter is June, July. How is June, July? Do you love it? Huh? If the exams which are written in June, oh my, it's terrible. Because you just want to be warm. You know, when it's cold, and when you talk of winter in these places of the world, it can really get cold. So now, imagine there was a battle, and it hasn't been concluded, and the king of the Lydia people withdraws, and then winter approaches. Now, you know what happened after that? Croesus says, obviously it will continue, but not in winter. Because even them, they are feeling the cold. Big mistake. Persians were thinking the exact opposite, to say, these guys, they may think battle can't take place in winter. You know what the Persians did? Let's attack in winter. Don't you think that's what the devil does? That's what the devil does, right? Atatina pimpela maningi ngati kwa zizi la mulungu wa shita understand. Izamine ni machita kuka 05 ni mjuni na mulungu wa shita understand. Mukusta understand wa gwererato yafika na Oktoba wapitiliza na tulo. Satan is not a part-time devil. He is a full-time devil. Now, you think you can defeat a full-time devil but living as a part-time Christian? It can't work. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Be on fire, whether you are at your workplace. Let people know you as a believer. Hallelujah. In your home, be on fire. Let your identity be a believer. In the house of God, be on fire. You don't change colors. No. Always walk with the Lord. But the people of Lydia made a big mistake. Croesus. He says, this is winter. It was winter. It's cold. No battle can take place. Even them, they are feeling the cold. Now everyone, there are stinga kwani sevi. Don't follow such advice. Atiro wakamvula. Obviously, apari baza pese kako onse waiwa namvula. Never get an encouragement of even them. There will still be a believer who braves through a situation and wants to find himself in the house of God. Don't presume what the enemy might not do. Walk with the Lord always. That's how Lydia was attacked. Do you know the second trick the Persians did? Remember I said the Persians, they study you first. They look at your weakness. You know what the Persians observed about people of Lydia? They used horses in warfare. In those days, people used to use horses. So they looked at, what weapon are they using? Oh, they use horses for moving. Okay. You know what the Persians were using, the Middle Persians? In war, in battle? Of course, they also have horses, but you know what they're using? The animal which Persians are using is not a horse, a camel. Anyone who knows the relationship between a camel and a horse? When horses smell camel, they start panicking, they run. They are afraid of a camel. And a camel has a strong scent. You know it from afar, there's a camel here. So when horses smell, there's a camel around. Psychologically, they get confused and they want to run. You know, a horse is not an attack animal. It doesn't fight. It only knows running. So whenever it senses danger, the first thing a horse does is to run. Run away. So you know what the Persians did when they went to attack the people of Lydia? They took a lot of camels to be in front so that the smell is stronger. They knew that these poor people of Lydia, they'll be using horses. That was big confusion. When these people of Lydia realized, okay, battle has broken out, they took their horses. Then the horses smell camel smell. Oh my, panic, confusion. The Persians had an upper hand and they had delight in winning that battle. Something to learn. Persians were not ignorant of their enemy's tactics. They will study you first. They size you up. What weapons are you using? How disadvantaged will you be? A war needs to be planned carefully. Is that so? Persians were good at planning. Do you know a war is won or is lost not on the battlefield, but on the planning tables? On the planning tables. These soldiers, imomzange nerako, insetiza pitirako, ndekwa mene, mkondo kwa mene yuiniliwa, ikaribu enda pa battlefield, on the planning stage. Is that so? And that is what the Persians did. They looked at what the people of Lydia were using and they knew we can use our camels to win here. As the battle raged on. What the Persians wanted was to enter the headquarters, the capital city. Now, you know the capital city of Lydia? It was Sardis. You've heard of that word in the book of Revelation, right? Sardis. The message to the angel of the church at Sardis. Sardis was in Lydia. That's what every, you know, military wants. If you are attacking a country, you want to attack the very city. You get a hold of it, the war is ended. You've won the city, right? That's what the pagans wanted. But it's not easy to attack a city. It's not easy. You start from the peripheries first, the borders. But you know, whilst they were marching, whilst they are moving, you know what happened? One soldier. And I have to emphasize on this one soldier. Because this soldier, as they are camping, as they are moving about, history says one soldier, as he was moving about, he discovered a hidden path. A hidden path. A hidden path. Which was a direct route, some sort of a tunnel leading to the capital city, Sardis. And the Persians went there. That is how the Persians found themselves in the capital of Sardis, and they were able to bring down Lydia. That soldier, let's learn something from him. You know, when there's war, so many things happen. This soldier stumbled on an opportunity. He said, what is this? It's not his commander who discovered that. It is that soldier. He says, hey, this must be a tunnel. He looked at it. This will be our path to victory. He went to tell his commander, this and that is what we have discovered. What one soldier discovered gave big victory to the whole nation. Do you know in the house of God, there are people who are spiritual. There are also people who are not part of what God is doing. Don't be like that. Have a desire on your heart to see the progress of this church. Now, you know what will happen? When you are so prayerful, you say, Lord, help us. If it's those who are in music, they even make their times for prayer. Lord, help us. We want to improve in this. Other people who work in other departments, Lord, help us. I desire for this and that to happen. When God sees you have a genuine desire for his work, he'll give you insight. To say, I think if we can do this, it will work good. Like Brother Kashala, you know, he's committed himself to Mwembeshe. He's the one now who comes up with ideas. Can we print tracks? We want to go there with Brother Lakson on Saturday. We want to do this and that. We are thinking this month, and can we have a revival meeting? It takes a desire for someone to begin to see opportunities for saving souls. In the house of God, God hasn't called you to just sit. Whatever part of the battle God has given you, do it excellently. Start having insight and revelation in that gift God has given you. And it will be for the benefit of this whole house. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Brother Teddy has committed himself to the instruments. And the other time out of his research, he says, no, if we can be using this type of a microphone and all that, it will be better. He used his own resources. No, I'll just buy this. And he bought it. And when I heard the recording, oh my, it came out excellent. I told him, brother, I need to refund you the money you use. No. I did it. It's for the glory of God. So out of a little thing he discovered and wanted to do for the work of God, it has become a blessing to many who listen to these sermons online. Now imagine if each and everyone, because we are all on the same battle, but God will use you according to your gifting and what preoccupies your mind. Hallelujah. Amen. We have a brother over in Singapore. He's the one who introduced me to AI. You know. He says, hey, Brother Peter, you know, you can use AI to edit, to do this and that. I asked him, show me how this can be done, brother. That was Brother Paul, you know. He showed me here, there, and oh my. It has just revolutionized our way of doing things, whether it is working on the website, whether it is editing, whether it is all such kind of things. When you look at computing skills, it's not a gift listed among the gifts in the Bible. But here is a talent someone has, and by discovering that narrow path, it has become a blessing to many believers around the world. Praise the Lord. We had one preacher in the Philippines who mentioned this point. The Israelites, the gold they used to make the tabernacle, it is the gold the Egyptians gave them. They got that from Egypt. Don't just look at your natural talent and say, when you start working with the Lord and spiritually, you can see how your talent can be a contribution in the house of God. Amen. Yeah, and it can become a blessing. Amen. Praise the Lord. That is how Sardis was defeated. Egypt. Now, Egypt, that's the third rib, the last one we're looking at, and we're closing. You know, Egypt was overcome in a very, you know, when I look at it, the time I read this in history, I was saying, oh my, this is interesting. You know, Egypt was an independent kingdom. It was enjoying its wealth. No one was disturbing it. It's enjoying its peace, wealthy, and of course powerful. But the Persians were determined to bring Egypt under its control. But you know, Egyptians, remember, they were once a mighty empire under Pharaoh. But they became so relaxed. And even when they needed soldiers, you know what started happening? When Egyptians want soldiers, they used to have mercenaries. Do you know who a mercenary is? How many know who a mercenary is? A mercenary is a soldier you pay for. It's not part of the, for example, if Zambia, we are at war, then maybe we don't have enough soldiers, or we want powerful soldiers. We hire someone. He can come from Europe or whichever, but we know he has skill. We pay him to come and fight for us. Hey, they were there in DRC. They are paid handsomely. They're just very skilled, but remember, they are fighting not because they hold the values of your nation at heart, but because there is a wage, a salary to be paid. They have no allegiance. Their allegiance is to the highest bidder. If today you hire him, another day it's another country which hires him to fight you. As long as they have a big offer, a mercenary is your enemy now. That's a mercenary. That's what Egypt. Egypt relied on Greek mercenaries. Much of their army, they were depending on mercenaries they were getting from Greek instead of Egyptians. You know, that's a very dangerous state of affairs, to depend on another army, on another people. They don't really have you on their heart. They're just mercenaries. And you know, during the battle of what you call Pelusium. Now, Pelusium is a place which is near, when you look at the Egyptian map, where the Nile is, the Nile Delta there. You know, you have a Nile River. Then on top there, near Alexandria, you have these different distributaries of the Nile River. This place called Pelusium, that is where it is. A battle broke out there. Now, here is something I found interesting. Number one, I told you, they relied on mercenaries. Now, Persians, they're thinking, how can we defeat Egypt? Remember, they won't use the method they used on Babylon. They didn't use the method they used on, what's the other one? Lydia. They look, because every person has a unique weakness. Is that right? Amen. So when they're dealing with a different empire, they look at, what's their weakness? Remember, that's your enemy's number one job, to look at your weakness. An enemy is not interested at where you are strong. He's obsessed with where is your weakness, because it's a weakness you can exploit. It's a weakness you can exploit. Now, do you know the weakness of the Egyptians, which the Persians exploited? Egyptians considered cats to be sacred. Tupusi. Egyptians believed tupusi were gods. They represented divine favor. That is why in Egypt, nyumba imozi wa pusi fulu. Blessings, protection, there's divinity. Those were Egyptians. It's like divine favor has come. So, listen, it was very serious. When you have been found to have hurt or injured a cat, did you know that carried the death penalty? You kill a cat, you'll be killed. Because they believed a cat was a god. Are you listening? Are you seeing that picture? You know what the pagans did? You know, when I read about it, I just laughed. The day they attacked, they even took some of the tumapusi, tied them on the shields. Because they knew when Egyptian soldiers see the cats, they'll be hesitant. Say, we shouldn't attack the gods, and it carries a death penalty. Oh my. And the pagans did that. As they come on the battle, they release cats on their shields. Balitupusi, topaiwa, you know? So you are trying to attack this enemy. He sees a cat. You know, what you believe has a strong influence on your life. Did you know that? Of course they knew this is a war, this is a battle, but they never expected the Persians would use such kind of a strategy. I tell you, Persians were very clever. Because they knew, if it's a cat, there's even death penalty. Okay, let us keep cats. When we land there, we'll release cats on them and we'll see how they'll be caught up in confusion like it's their gods. The battle was lost. When the cats were released, poor Egyptians. Now, you know, you can laugh because you are living in a modern world. Do you know beliefs can imprison people? Did you know that? We shouldn't even speak about Persians. Muminzi. Kwa mene kichokera muminzi. Do you know? Wantwana mangi wanavokulupirira kulupirira. Do you know that? Yes. We had a crusade. You know that place we had a crusade? They believe if it's a crusade, if there's a funeral, you can't attend any such meeting. The people who attended the crusade were from all the other villages. The whole village where we were, no one came. And when they were asking people, a lot of people were scared. Says, no, I can't come because there's a funeral. Hey, even in the cities, there are some people who are still imprisoned by funny beliefs. Funny beliefs. Ukamvera kazizi alira, bazashitika maliro panyumba. You've heard of funny stories like that? Then now you have a patient at home. Your child is sick. The poor hour comes. Fear grows in a person at a believer. Man taso. Habusa ni pempelele ni chani kazizi. You are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, did you know the devil takes advantage of your belief? Amen. Hello? Satana aona manta yamene muli nayo. Ngati watembe nuka wasuki wanamwazi wa Yesu Kristu palibe chinga kugwire. Koma manta yako Satana ndepa zankalira na mpamfu pamene pacha. Because someone said, you can never live beyond your belief. I want to, let us say that word, you can never live beyond your belief. You look yourself in the mirror. I can never be good at this thing. The self-image you have of yourself is a fence you've put around you. But you know what is sad? when Jesus Christ set you free, but you live as a person in prison. That's the worst which can happen. A long time ago, when we would buy those village chickens, they used to sell in the markets. You find wanaimanga nkuku, waimanga. Maybe ankara 1 week it is so chabe. Mukaigula, you take it home. You know what happens? Even when you remove the rope, what happens? It still stands as though it is tied. You try to push it, it still thinks it is tied. If you are not careful, the same can happen to you. Remember, the Egyptians relied on mercenaries. May I use this strange example? Strange because it's not a good type, but still something we can learn. As a child of God, learn how to fight as a soldier, both with people and alone. Don't always live as though another person's prayer will be heard more quickly than you when you pray. Suppose you have an attack at night. Are you able to stand on your own and pray confidently as a child of God and say, Lord, I believe in your promises? Or you start panicking. I wish our brother so and so angabwere kunipemperera. It is good to be prayed for, but it's even more important to know how to stand as a soldier. Praise the Lord. You need to know how to stand as a soldier. We used to have a sister, she's now late. Wonderful sister. When she came to this fellowship during her early years, she used to have these spiritual attacks. Every now and then, Pastor, I'm not feeling well. I think that spirit has come to attack me. Please pray for me. Would pray for her. Another time again, I think I'm not feeling well. I think that spirit of bad dreams is coming. Please pray for me. So one day when she came with a request saying, Munipemperere, I said, sister, it's high time when those bad things come at night. So I told her, when those things come, stand up. If you want, read the scripture. Start singing and start worshiping God. Start calling upon his name. Rebuke the devil. Tell him to get out. I told her, you have the authority as a child of God. Amen. Never for one moment think a pastor is more of a child of God than you. I don't believe in that. Even me here, I have come for my own salvation. We are here as brothers and sisters. So learn how to stand as a soldier. Don't rely on mercenaries. I'm using mercenaries on the point of view that learn how to hold your machine gun. Don't just rely on another person holding a machine gun. What will happen when that person is not there? You remember the testimony of Brother John Mark? Brother John Mark had gone to a convention. Brother John Mark was an apostle of the Lord. He went for a convention. The wife remained. The wife remained. Two testimonies. There's one where their daughter had died. Their child had died, I think. What would you have done as a sister? The child has died. The brother is not around. The preacher has gone. People started crying at home. Mwana mwalira, hey, you know, and everyone begins to cry, and but Sister Lousy, the wife to Brother John Mark, she took the child into the room. She didn't want anyone in that room. Closed herself up. Started praying. Started praying. Brother John Mark doesn't know anything. Him is at the convention. Kanshi mwana amalira. But you know what happened to Brother John Mark? You remember when he taught the testimony? He was seated in the sitting room like that, where they've had the first service. I think he was resting in the sitting room. Then someone came telling Brother John Mark,
says, oh, there is something which happened at your home, but do not worry. It is normal. Then Brother John Mark says, then the person disappeared. Brother John Mark says, that's when I realized the fellow was an angel. Then now when he went back home, that's when he was told the testimony. The wife closed herself up, prayed for the child, and the child came back to life. Hallelujah. Hey, God is still working. Amen? But remember, it's not a pastor who experienced this testimony. It's not even a brother who experienced that testimony. It was a sister. Praise the Lord. Another day again, Brother John Mark was not around. Brother John Mark was not around. What happened? Some people brought a person who was, I think, mad, if I remember well. A confused person. The person was getting out of control. They said, oh, we have brought a patient for Brother John Mark to pray for the patient. The sister said, the pastor is not there, but I can pray for the patient. We can pray. Hallelujah. Well, and these are people. They are not church people. They are people in the neighborhood. They know that you pray for people. And they bring a patient. Are you going to say, we won't do anything because Brother John Mark is not there? No! It's your faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Sister Lauzi prayed for that patient and the person became normal. It's not a preacher who prayed for that person. It's not a brother. It was a sister. She's not a sister who preaches and or maybe in leadership. She's actually a very quiet sister in the background. What does that mean? You don't have to be very much loud or to be known for God to use you. God, what he wants is sincerity and humility, and his power will come down. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So let us believe in God. Amen. Let us close with Proverbs 23, verse 7. So this story of cats is very important. Your beliefs can hinder you. Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Shall we read that together? For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Ati vamene uganiza, kapena vamene wakulupirira mumtima, nde mwamene uzangalira. Did you know that? Those are deep words. And in Africa, we need to speak more on this. Because I can tell you, there are some people who've imprisoned themselves because of what they believe. Now remember, God can only lift you when there is a desire for a higher height in you. If you have a desire, then God can respond to that desire. But when you put a wall to say, ah, ine, sister wanga, demwamine vinashitikira. Brother wanga nae, ise, chirimbanja, chabe chirimbanja. Ni believer we wakambaivu. Muzi wakuti, ngatinde vamene wakulu pirira, vamene wafaka maganizo, nawe uzankara, mwamine virimbanja, it means you've counted yourself there. Is that correct? Yeah. What I want to tell you is, the Persians used that. The Persians were able to look at a cat to say, ni pusu uyu chabe uyu, ati ni murungu uyu. Ah, ikona. Actually, tend to using it to manage to bash the defeat. But tenga to pusi, my Egyptians kwenze kutala in every direction, kutala pusi, kuivara tinduwe msoja. Kakashita, akali pamanje murungu. Why? That is what they were believing in their thoughts. When you believe something wrong, even your mind can trick you. You begin to see connections. Don't do that. Chikalira chabe chikazizi ni madwala mutu. Mairofuti chalira vachitika nivi. You are committing your faith in that thing and the devil steps in to fulfill that.
be set free from that. Remember, the power of Satan is real, but the power of God is greater.
But muziwa wantu wakulu pitira maningi vintu, vakunganga, wakulu pitira maningi, vaumfuiti. Kuchira ma miracles, yali mbaibu. Muziwa so,
here is a brother who just believed on a prayer cloth and he was giving a testimony. You know what it did? What did that? It's not because, oh, some great man of God prayed like this or like that. It's faith. It comes down to that. Amen. Faith, that's all. So my brother, my sister, I don't know what problem you are in. I don't know what sickness you are wrestling with. You don't have to say, ah, I think I'm going to pray for a foot. Believe in the prayer which was made. As you believe it, start confessing it with your mouth. As you confess it with your mouth, hold on to the promises of God and say, Lord, I stand upon the promises of your word. Hallelujah. Amen. You stand on those promises. Believe me, you see the promise. You see the hand of God. Amen. I have seen it in my life. Amen. I have seen it. Believe, hold to it, and God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Always remember, when you are praying for a miracle, for God to do something, don't pray for a feeling. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is believing what God has revealed. Don't wait for a sensation. If God gives you a sensation, it's a bonus. But believe and take him at his word. God, listen to this, God is not moved by self-pity.
God is
not moved by self-pity. Tell your neighbor, God is not moved by self-pity.
Uyesa semu mkudanda ula kuonesa chifundo ati mulungu azani shitrapo. No.
God is moved by people who believe. Amen. Faith is what moves God.
Chifukwa ngati kutia leka ni mwone se mulungu kutuzona na vutika wanverele chifundo. Maybe ndepaza nitandiza kwa mulungu. Asembe ni mambili wana tandiziwa.
Do you remember when Jesus went at the pool of Bethesda? There were many sick people there.
Do you know that? Many sick people there. The Bible says they had been there. When the embakers are for the angel of God to come and steer the waters, then Jesus finds this man. He says, me, every time I want to go in, wina man chingirira, ndia mena dumbira momanz. Ine, kwenze kungo danda ula kukamba one problem after the other. Not knowing his solution was standing right before him.
When you stand before God, remember this. The book of Hebrews says, we now enter the Holy of Holies, not with a veil, with boldness. Not because we are confident in our righteousness, but because of the righteousness of Christ. It covers us. It's not based on how good you've been. Nikalipo pempele raichi, reka first in one, nalakuwa kwa mailo and all that. God doesn't give you what he gives you because of how good you were, but because of what Jesus did on Calvary.
Nichifukwa chake uzao na mundu, atembenuka chabelero,
even his life hasn't been up to that standard, the way you've raised the standard for yourself. The fellow just believes and pours out his heart and he says, I believe God. And he receives his healing. He receives his blessing. Brother Branham said that. He says, many times I call people for the altar and I have seen good, nice Christians who are committed and devout and they receive nothing. And he says, it has always bothered me. And I'll see someone whom I can discern and I can see they didn't live a good life. Maybe they've just given themselves to Christ. And he says, later I learned, God, whatever he can do for you, healing, it's not on the merits of your righteousness. It's on the merits of faith always. Amen. On the merits of faith. Brothers and sisters, you are the most rich people in the world. I'm not speaking of physical riches. I'm talking about because you have God as your reward. If I ask you, if President HH came here and told you, Mwana wanga, kaili wamu itana ni bali, Mwana wanga, kamba chiri chwansa chamine ningafune kupasa, ni uze, ni muzampe mpachani. Ganizani mumtima, HH kamba, anything you want, tell me, consider it done. You realize I'm standing in the presence of power and providence here. You look out for what you desire. Is that right? Amen. But do you know the Bible says you can also bring your desires, no, not before a president of this world, before him who created the heavens and the earth. Amen. That's what the Bible says. But when you limit God in your mind, what you receive gets limited. Those are simple lessons I've come to learn. To Abraham, God said, I am your exceeding great reward. You have everything. Amen. But if money is the only thing you have, you are so poor. You only have money. Me, I have God. In him is joy. In him is peace. In him is healing. In him is a family like you and I. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Every place I go to, Philippines, Singapore, Malawi, Zimbabwe, you know, we enter those homes if it's for Brother Veremo. It's just like your home. You look at them as your parents because Jesus said, I'll give you mothers, I'll give you brothers. That's how rich and wealthy you are. The love you find in the family of God, believe me, you never find it anywhere else. If you can't feel it, maybe you are not yet in the family. Or you've drawn a little circle around yourself in a Santandadira since I endako. You've drawn a little circle. Now, some of us, this is what we do. Some of us, it's very difficult to kutikali pisa. Uka drawing aka seko wazipangila chabe iwe akandeka seko kako. You know what Brother Piri does when he comes? I draw a bigger seko and say, my brother. Uka drawing a bigger one, I'll draw a bigger seko and say, my brother. Because where we are heading to sense is in heaven. Where we are heading to is the millennium here. It's about unity, fellowship, and family. If we don't have those qualities here, we are disqualifying ourselves. Shall we stand? Praise God.